Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, as our listeners know, Facebook doesn't like us. Facebook doesn't like theparacast.com, nor Tim's site, conspiracyjournal.com. Don't understand why. You can't, of course, contact Facebook unless you're a very large corporation. Then maybe they'll listen to you, but that's how things go. Skype may not like Tim, because we tried to call Tim to bring him in on the conversation for this week's episode featuring Mark Gober, and guess what? He didn't hear it. Tim, do you think that maybe Microsoft doesn't like you?
I think that it's actually the worldwide AI that secretly controls us. For some reason, it's got a hair for me, and it's instructing everything, Facebook, Skype, what have you, to just mess with me.
Well, the thing about a worldwide AI is it's a theory that some people consider very seriously.
Yeah, it's Skynet, like they predicted in... James Cameron's movie with Arnold.
About the Terminator.
The Terminator, yes, that's right. The Skynet just has it in for me.
Well, the thing is here, I have a right to do that because my paternal grandfather was born in Austria. So therefore, I am slightly Austrian in my background. Therefore, I have a right to do that. Mark, what do you think about all this? Do you think that we're controlled by some kind of artificial intelligence?
I wish I knew. I'm still trying to figure out who we are and what we're doing here, but I'm open to possibilities.
Well, I just hope the people who put us here know what they're doing. But I'm interested in these books of yours, and maybe we can get to the background of how you came to write them. You have, it says here, 4 books using the term upside down. Now, of course, when we hear upside down, we think of the alternate universe in the TV show Stranger Things. But where do you come out with the term upside down? For what purpose?
Well, I didn't realize when I first started writing books that, first of all, I didn't know I'd write multiple books. So it started with my first one called An End to Upside Down Thinking. And it refers to the way that the mainstream scientific community thinks about consciousness. And in short, mainstream science says that the universe is fundamentally made out of matter and consciousness emerges later through a physical brain. That's what I regard as upside down thinking. So the reverse of that is that consciousness is in some way primary, more fundamental than matter. And I've just continued that upside down theme for various topics that are still related to that initial idea.
So are you positing a universal consciousness of some sort here?
Something like that. That's where I come out as a general framework. It's probably much more complex than most humans could even conceive. But I think a lot of the data, especially in parapsychology and related areas, is supported by a metaphysics in which consciousness is fundamental.
Let's go into your background, Mark. How did you start in this direction? Where did you come up with the idea of writing books on this subject? What's your background?
Well, it was very much unexpected. I went to Princeton for undergrad, had just a mainstream worldview, went into investment banking in 2008. So I was there during the financial crisis in New York from 2008 to 2010. Wasn't thinking about consciousness at that point. Then I joined a firm, first in Boston and then in Silicon Valley, where I became a partner, doing somewhat similar work to what I was doing in New York, advising companies, particularly in the technology industry, focused on their innovations and deals that they were doing around their patent portfolios. While I was in Silicon Valley, I started listening to podcasts. This was back in 2016, and came across paranormal phenomena inadvertently. At first, I was just listening to business podcasts and then some alternative health shows. and the topic of psychic phenomena, spirits, and things like that came up. And I was at first just intrigued because I never thought about those things in a serious way, and I would have considered myself either agnostic or atheist at the time. I thought life was random and meaningless, and that's what I was being taught. That's what the mainstream perspective seemed to be, and that's what I believed to be true. So I was confronted with evidence that was contradicting my worldview, and long story short, I've been trying to figure out what's going on ever since, and that's what's been propelling me to write books and talk about these topics.
When you were involved in investment banking, were you at all connected with any of the companies we all know about?
I was at a company called UBS in New York, so it's a very large global investment bank. And the group I was in there was responsible for advising other financial institutions, so banks, insurance companies, asset managers. So we dealt with all the big financial companies all over the world. And then when I went into the tech industry, we worked across many different industries, basically any company that had innovations, which spans everything. And some of the companies were smaller that you might not have heard of, and others are brand names.
Are you allowed to say the brand names?
No, most of the client engagements are confidential, unfortunately, but companies that everyone's heard of.
Well, my late brother Wally was an investment banker specializing in the healthcare industry. Genome research was their specialty, and this was pretty active before he died in 1995. But it's interesting here that when people talk about big pharma, I said, yeah, my brother was big pharma, and look what happened to him. Oh, well. Let's get back into this thing here. So somebody involved in the numbers game, financial stuff, is now talking about the paranormal, psychic phenomena, the weird, unknown. Interesting change of life, isn't it?
That's a big change. But I was confronted with what I considered to be too much evidence to dismiss it. I couldn't dismiss all the different pieces I was coming across, so I felt like I was forced to reconsider my worldview. And as I looked into it more closely, I realized that the conventional paradigm is very much flawed.
Was there an X factor, a euphoria moment where you said, aha, this is it, this is what shows me there's something else going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, it was much more gradual. So I didn't have a near-death experience or an enlightenment meditation experience. Although I did, when I first found out about some of the science, I spoke with various psychics who were able to do things, and they knew things that I couldn't explain. Not all the time, but there were certain instances. And so that was remarkable for me. And also I started to have lots of synchronicities where things were happening, which if I tried to run the numbers in my head, it didn't seem like it could possibly be random. And when I combined that with the information I was learning about, this whole other world opened up, and it was this gradual process.
You talk about synchronicity, and I've heard a lot of people throughout the years that it's events like that that really start to open their eyes to the idea that there may be more to this universe than the material world presents to us. Can you give us some examples of synchronicity that you had that really helped pull you along and open your eyes?
Sure. Well, there were so many at one point that I was taking notes of them in my phone because it was just remarkable to me. But one that stands out is I ran into someone from college that I hadn't seen in years, and I was telling him about a podcast I had started on these same topics. It's called Where Is My Mind? And he says, Where Is My Mind? That's the name of the song that I walked down the aisle at my wedding to. So things like that were just very strange. The fact that I even ran into him was weird, and then we had this common thing. Like, that was happening all the time.
What strikes me as interesting is that song, picking that song to play when he's walking down the aisle. Is that the kind of a weird marriage?
I don't know. I wasn't there. But it's weird on many levels that happened.
Just that choice, I have to get this guy on the show and say, okay, of all the great songs one would choose for one's wedding, why that one?
Yeah.
And is he still married to the same person?
I have not seen him since then.
That explains a lot, doesn't it? All right, Mark Gober is joining us. We're talking about Upside Down, And, of course, we'll start with his Upside Down Thinking and go from there with Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Mark. Upside down thinking. And we got to end that. So let's talk about that. We'll start with the first book, and we'll get into the stuff that relates more to UFOs. But before we do that, have you had any experiences with some sort of paranormal phenomena that also led you on this path?
No. So I have never encountered any entities that I'm aware of, at least, because I know there are cases of missing time, so it's possible that their memories I don't have access to, I guess. But nothing that I'm consciously aware of. The closest thing I would say to something paranormal is speaking to people who channel entities from other dimensions, allegedly, where their whole personality changes, the words they use, the cadence changes. And so I know people that do that and have been with them face-to-face while they're channeling. Other than that, nothing that I can really think of.
Do you have any feeling about what's going on with them there? Are they truly connecting with some kind of other force, or are they just kind of making it up, or what?
Well, there's actually some research on this conducted at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, where I'm a board member, so I know the scientists involved in the studies. And their conclusion is that there are some legitimate channelers who are not exhibiting the same symptoms as someone who's mentally ill. And in some cases, again, some of these are preliminary studies, there is a psychokinetic effect, meaning that while the person's channeling, the behavior of random number generator machines in the room start to change. They behave non-randomly while the person's channeling, which is suggestive of something happening as well.
Well, it sounds like sometimes when you have UFO sightings, electronic gear starts to act screwy.
Yes, that's right. And interestingly, that also happens to people after they have a near-death experience. So there seems to be this parallel when people enter this other dimension of consciousness, whether it's UFO experience or otherwise, where there's a physiological change.
Talking about the random number generators, I seem to remember, gosh, when was it? It may have been after 9/11 or even some instances closer, you know, in time to that. But, you know, it made the news that some place who had random number generators scattered throughout the world and was keeping tabs on them indicated that after major worldwide events that there was an uptick of numbers being generated with these different machines that seemed to show some kind of outside influence. I think one of the other events was the death of Princess Diana. So, you know, it's interesting that you would bring that up, and a lot of people don't, you know, really quite understand the science behind the random number generators. You know, I know I'm not quite sure myself.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tim. So what you're describing is known as the Global Consciousness Project, and it's essentially a spin-out of a lab at Princeton University run by the former dean of engineering, Dr. Robert John, and now it's run by Dr. Roger Nelson, where these machines are set up all over the world. And the scientists look at the behavior of the machines. So generally, they're spitting out zeros and ones in a completely random fashion. So over time, you expect 50% ones and 50% zeros. But what they found is that around major global events, when people around the world seem to have a strong emotion in a similar direction, the machines, which most people don't even know exist, which are generating these numbers all the time, they start to behave statistically non-randomly, meaning it's slightly more than 50% for one of the numbers and less for the other. It's a tiny effect, meaning it's not like it's 70% versus 30%. It's still around 50%. But statistically, it's highly significant, which indicates that something beyond chance is occurring. The other area of study around this effect is also done where a person who's not claiming to have any special psychic abilities is asked to try to mentally influence the machine. So in the studies, they might say, Tim, I want you to try to make the machine generate more ones than zeros using your mind alone. And what the scientists have found is that people are able to do that. Again, it's a small effect, but it's highly statistically significant.
I seem to remember that there were some laboratories testing individuals, say like Uri Geller, mm-hmm. into trying to influence, say, the roll of dice or coins or something like that. And, you know, what does mainstream science have to say about, you know, these kinds of experiments? As you said, you know, it seems to be statistically different than just random events. But, of course, mainstream science has a very materialistic look on our reality. So, I mean, do they continue to insist that, yes, it's within the realms of probability?
Well, mainstream science does not look kindly upon this sort of stuff. And many scientists who want to study these topics tend to leave academia, or they become involved publicly after they have tenure because there's such a taboo around it. And even some of the scientific journals, this is what scientists have told me, is that they will sometimes reject papers if they have to do with psychic abilities on the basis of the subject matter alone, not because the studies are conducted poorly, but just because the journals don't want to have anything to do with it. So there are definite headwinds in this area. However, there have been some studies published in mainstream journals, which gives me hope that there's some movement. One that I often reference is a 2018 paper in American Psychologist, which is the official peer-reviewed academic journal of the American Psychological Association. So basically as mainstream as you can get. And they allowed the publication of a meta-analysis, meaning an analysis of many studies showing that there is a statistical effect not only for psychokinesis, which is mind impacting matter, but also things like telepathy, mind-to-mind communication, which is precognition, knowing or sensing the future before it happens, and also remote viewing, which is being able to perceive something with the mind while not being there physically. So there are some people that are starting to catch on to this.
The same thing almost seems to be happening with UFOs, where there appears to be more scientific interest in the possibilities.
I agree with that. And also there's more mainstream media acceptance, or at least discussion around these topics. And I think that the New York Times revelation in December of 2017 with the Tic Tac UFOs, that helped to make these things a little bit more mainstream, where you can at least discuss the topics without being thought of as crazy, even though I feel like the disclosure has been pretty minimal so far.
Well, so far, all we know is that there are things being seen, but so far, although I appear that I think it's going to change, so far, the emphasis is on the military sightings. They right. still kind of ignore decades of civilian and military UFOs around the world, and maybe they're beginning to pick up on that. It's also interesting, even though they say that they don't have evidence that UFOs are off-world, or UAPs, if you wish to use that term, we do see that NASA has a group that's investigating the subject, and if they're not extraterrestrial, what would NASA have to do with it? Because that's the space agency. Curious and curious and curiouser. We're talking to Mark Gober, his books on upside down thinking, and we've got more to come with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. A new year is upon us. Celebrations across the world and country, led by Times Square, where a million people braved the rain to watch the iconic ball drop. North Korea is announcing it will exponentially increase its production of nuclear warheads. On Saturday, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un promised to build more powerful intercontinental ballistic missiles and begin the mass production of nuclear warheads. The Foo Fighters are confirming they will continue making music following the death of drummer Taylor Hawkins in March. In a post across social media, the band said, as they say goodbye to the most difficult and tragic year that the band has ever known, they are reminded how thankful they are for people they love and cherish most. Avatar: The Way of Water is expected to pull in another $90 million during the long weekend and become the second highest-grossing domestic film of the year. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Oh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the groom?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So, Mark, what's your perception of all that, the big changes in the government, the consideration by NASA of UFOs?
Well, in some ways, I think it's a very positive change, the fact that we can now at least discuss the topic without being thought of as totally crazy. But in other ways, it feels like it's a controlled drip of information. And just having researched it myself without having had direct experience, it seems like there's so much more that's not being talked about. So, for example, we hear a lot about the crafts that are seen by military, like you said, but we don't hear as much about who might be operating the crafts, what kinds of intelligences they are, and why they're here, and what their interaction is with our civilization. So that part of it, which to me is the really important part, is not being discussed as much.
Well, of course, when you say that, there would have to be an admission that there is an unknown resource or source for these UFOs, and that we have pilots who are not of this earth. For otherwise, why would you care?
Exactly. And that, I think, would be such a paradigm shift for people. Maybe it's too much for many to handle.
I want to go back just a little bit. We were talking about mainstream science and this whole idea within science. And you know, you have to understand, I mean, I'm a big proponent of scientific thinking. However, I do have to disagree with this scenario that has developed over the centuries, that there basically is just the material world, that, you know, your brain is just a chemical computer, and that nothing else exists beyond that. I mean, can you get in a little bit on, you know, on how this type of thinking ever began, and why it became, you know, the establishment, so to speak?
Yeah, this is really central to all of my books, really, and what I'm trying to figure out myself. But this idea, the mainstream paradigm, which says that our consciousness, that is our sense of experiencing, our inner awareness, that comes from a physical brain. And the reason that neuroscientists believe this to be true is that we can find very tight correlations between what happens to the brain and the type of conscious experience that a person has. So, for example, let's say the part of the brain responsible for vision becomes damaged, the person might have a change in his or her eyesight. So there's a correlation between what you do to the brain and what happens to the person's consciousness. However, the leap that is often made is that, well, because there is this relationship that's very close and well established, it must mean that the brain produces or causes consciousness. And in statistics, the fallacy is known as correlation does not imply causation. And what do I mean by that? Just because the brain's related to consciousness doesn't mean that the brain produces it. There could be another relationship. And where I land on this, based on lots of evidence that's out there, is that the brain is more like an antenna receiver or a filtering mechanism. Some might even call it like a blindfold, where there's a much broader reality, and our body and our brain only perceives a tiny sliver of that, and the brain actually gets in the way in some capacity. So this, to me, is really the upside down notion, because it starts to put into question the very notion of human identity. This idea that I'm describing, where consciousness is not produced by the brain, suggests that the body is like a vessel or a vehicle for something that's beyond the body, rather than the mainstream perspective, which is that the brain produces consciousness, our body is everything, and when the brain shuts off, that's the end of your consciousness. There's no life after death. That's not possible. Reincarnation is impossible. And psychic phenomena, which is consciousness non-local to the brain, that's paranormal, that's superstition. And so this notion of the brain and consciousness connection is fundamental to the way we look at the world in so many ways.
What also implies, I guess, from what you're saying, that the brain may primarily be a receiver and a transmitter, a transceiver, transmitting information to a universal consciousness with which it's on a certain channel, or it has a certain individuality. This is channel 57 billion, and that's you.
Yeah, that's a great point. The brain is picking something up and able to transmit to other places. That's where I kind of come out. And there's a relatively new book out called The Science of Channeling by Helene Wabe, who's the director of research at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, where she talks about this notion that even if you're not a professional channeler, let's say where a spirit entity completely takes over the body, it's possible that our thoughts are being impacted in ways that we don't realize, because if the brain is this receiver transmitter, how do we know where our thoughts come from? We can't actually point to it. And think about a creative idea, for example, an idea that just comes out of nowhere, this insight. We don't really understand how that works. And if the brain is picking up signals from elsewhere, maybe there's an influence that we don't see with our eyes.
I wonder if the scientific establishment's materialistic viewpoint may have at least partially stemmed from the times when religious dogma really tried to keep scientific thinking I don't want to say on the down low, but tried to keep it down. And and if scientific thinking went against religious establishments, then people would find themselves being persecuted. And so now it's almost like we've come to the other extreme, where rather than looking at that life and reality is kind of a combination of all the above, now it's swung to it's material only and nothing else.
Yeah, it does feel like the pendulum swung too far, where you need to have this controlled double-blind study set up, and if you don't have that, then the data isn't worthwhile. So one of the counter arguments to many of these phenomena, especially the ones that are not statistical in nature, is, well, that's just an anecdote. But so it's like people won't accept it unless they can control every variable, because they want to have the hardcore data. And to me, science and religion are both trying to get at probably the same thing, which is understanding the nature of reality. And they use different methods, and I think there's a place for both.
Oh, yeah. The the psyche can parallel paranormal phenomena really does refuse to allow itself to be pinned down in a laboratory. That's one of the frustrating things about studying the phenomena, is that, you know, you can't repeat it time and time again in a laboratory. And, you know, I could see why a lot of scientists would throw up their hands and just declare, well, there's nothing to it. It's like you said, you know, it's all just anecdotal. You know, we can't get the same results in our laboratory time and again. And, you know, it's there's still no easy answer for that.
Yeah. Well, I think there is repeatability with regard to the statistical effects, but they're not dramatic, so they don't really win as much because people can't see them. You have to run numbers. The dramatic psychic phenomena are very much ephemeral, and they're hard to capture. I think there's also sometimes a misconception about psychic abilities and other quote-unquote paranormal phenomena, which is that in order for them to be real, you need to have 100% accuracy. And that's not the case. Really, there needs to be something that's beyond what chance would predict. And so, like, it's easy for someone to say, well, this person failed at a psychic ability one time, therefore it's all fraudulent, and then that's the end of it. It's not worth studying. However, there were, I think, really impressive studies done within the U.S. government starting in the 1970s on remote viewing for psychic spying, and Uri Geller was one of the people involved there, but many others. It was run by Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, and much of this has been declassified, where the internal documents say remote viewing is a real phenomenon. The implications are revolutionary. They even describe some of the protocols they used with Uri Geller when they locked him in a shielded room effectively and asked him to remote view things with his mind. So there are people that, almost like in basketball, anyone can dribble a basketball, but not everyone is going to be LeBron James or Michael Jordan.
We've got more to talk about here with Mark and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Mark Gober joining us, talking about testing people like Uri Geller, getting better than chance. I remind myself about the scene from the beginning of Ghostbusters, if you remember that. Bill Murray is administering a test. Of course, he fakes the results because he wants to get it on with the girl who's taking the test. But the point being here, I think, is with remote viewing, the concern that I've heard about, is that, yeah, it seems to work, but it's not reliable enough. Do you have that perception, Mark?
I have definitely heard that argument. So for my podcast, again, it's called Where Is My Mind? I interviewed Russell Targ, who was involved in the program himself, and his conclusion was that it was useful, and the government spent roughly $25 million over around two decades, and he said they wouldn't just do that unless there was some use. One of the cases that people often reference is there was a lost bomber. It was a Russian bomber, I believe. It was in an African jungle, and they couldn't find it with the radar system. And apparently remote viewers were used to find this thing where no one knew where it was. And former U.S. President Jimmy Carter confirmed that this happened. So there are some cases out there that are pretty remarkable and hard to explain.
I think the question would be then, is it trainable? Can you train somebody? I guess they have to have some abilities, we assume. Train somebody to be a reliable remote viewer so all or most of the perceptions they receive can be used as a basis for intelligence.
So my understanding from talking to Russell Targ is that he trains people, that anyone can do this. Some might be better than others naturally. Also, I spoke with John Vivanco, who's been involved in some high-profile remote viewing, and he's able to train groups. It's not something I've pursued myself, but people who have been involved claim that it is doable. One of the challenges, however, is that there is a lot of abstraction to it. People sit there in a meditative state and images come into their mind or thoughts come in. And the goal, as so I'm told, is to just document what those things are without judging it. But still, these are human beings, so the thought process can get in the way, the so-called monkey mind, which can interrupt the signal, so to speak, which can lead to imperfect results. So it takes someone with a lot of discipline to be able to just get the information however it is. And another thing that I wonder about is we're dealing with a perception of something that's far away in space and time using just a human vessel. Is there something naturally lost in translation because of what the human being is? Like, is it possible that we're incapable of being fully perfect in this regard?
Well, that's true, I think, about anything. Even a genius doesn't always come out with something that's perfect every time. There was an interview with Paul McCartney, for example, and someone was suggesting, you know, I've been practicing guitar for years. How do you become like a Jimi Hendrix? And he says, well, of course, it could be your family. It could be practice. It doesn't hurt if you're a genius.
Yeah, that's what seems to be the case. There are these superstars who can do really, really well, but they're still humans.
Well, I think one of the other aspects, especially when it comes to remote viewing, is that not only are you trying to remote view something that's within this world, but there's probably an infinite number of alternative realities that coexist alongside of us, and without the proper training to filter that extraneous noise out, you know, you may be able to have the ability to, you know, to pick up, say, like that bomber that crash landed in a jungle on the other side of the planet in this other reality and report on it, and, well, no, that didn't happen in this one. But of course, you know, how are you going to double check with an alternative reality?
Hey, just want to remind our listeners, back in 2009, we featured someone from the UK, a remote viewer named Daz Smith, and he got into some kind of flame war in our forums. So I guess we lost touch with him. But we ran a test of his remote viewing abilities, and he passed it. What more can I say?
Wow. So another case that was really remarkable to me when I first started on this was learning about Ingo Swann, who was one of the early remote viewers in the U.S. government program. And Russell Targ wrote about this in one of his books, that in 1973, they asked him to remote view what Jupiter looked like. And at the time, apparently we didn't know all the details. But 6 years later, the results of the Voyager 1 probe came back, and it validated what Ingo Swann had remote viewed, which is remarkable in many ways, but it shows that this phenomenon is not limited to this planet. It can go very far away, which makes sense in the context of the metaphysics, where we're part of something interconnected, whatever you want to call it, some kind of consciousness that we're part of, and might even relate to the quantum physics that is now becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, Ingo Swann was definitely the LeBron James of remote viewing.
Yeah, and Joe McMonagle was another one. We did really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I've talked to people who run companies that work to train remote viewers in the corporate field, and the people that I've talked to said that most of us have the ability to a certain extent. You know, you just have to be willing to take the time to do it, but not to expect, you know, 100% success rates, you know, from everybody. And if you're lucky, you know, you'll find a few people who are really good at it. But that it is possible for anybody to a certain extent, if they take the time, to be able to do it.
Well, another complication, and I came across this when I interviewed Stephen Schwartz, who's run groups of remote viewers to try to look at the future to see what might happen. So people using their minds to see the future. And he said, look, the future is not fixed. It's probabilistic. So people might perceive something that is actually the most likely future at the time of the perception, at the time of the remote viewing exercise. But the future might change based on all the different things happening in the world. So that's another factor just to consider.
Well, it makes you wonder also if that probability can be changed just by predicting it.
Right.
You know, is that enough to mess it all up?
And this also, your point relates to scientific studies in general. If we go back to this notion of psychokinesis, where the mind can have an impact on the physical world, what does that mean for all the scientific studies we're running, where the psychology of the experimenter could in some very small way be impacting the experiment itself?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, you know, there's also the aspect when it comes to scientific research that's always kind of intrigued me, is that if usually if one laboratory or a group of scientists come across an idea and then have it published, chances are there's going to be another group that's going to publish the very same thing almost at exactly the same time.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen the data on it, but I've heard examples where it's like it's as if an idea enters the field of consciousness and then it becomes more possible. That's what it feels like.
It almost reminds me of what happens in Hollywood where you suddenly see two movies about a disastrous meteor or something. And people say, well, maybe one producer heard the other one's doing it and wanted to get in there first. But the problem with that is that, as anyone who's studied the makings of Hollywood, a movie idea doesn't just appear overnight. The story may be sitting around for years. It'll be changed and changed. It could take a couple of years at least to make that movie. And then to suddenly have another producer come out with a similar movie, it's really difficult to get those things to come around at the same time.
That's a good point. And if we are interconnected in some way with regard to our consciousness, it seems plausible that something could happen where creativity is being received, so to speak, by various people's brains, and it might manifest through various forms of art.
Well, that says, of course, again, that we're interconnected. We're not separate entities operating totally independently.
Yes, that to me is central to all of this. And the paradox is that we exist in a world where we very much are individuals. Like it's unavoidable that there's a me and a you. But then at another level of reality, there is this interconnectivity in which some might even argue that we are literally the same. Erwin Schrödinger, the Nobel Prize winning physicist, said, in truth, there is only one mind. And an analogy I often reference is from a philosopher, Dr. Bernardo Kastrup. He says, it's like reality is one big stream of water, where water is analogous to consciousness, and each of us is a whirlpool within the stream. So we have the sense of being individuals, but we're fundamentally interconnected.
I think a lot of people ought to learn that lesson because we have such a mess going on right now. We're looking about upside-down thinking. On the show this week, Mark Gober, author of four books on the subject, is here to talk about it with Gene Steinberg, Tim Swartz. It means you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.